I can't remember when it started. But it's almost as though I was let me put it this way, I was being hijacked ever so often throughout the day. And
Hijacked
my heart felt,
in
yeah, my God,
a good way.
like, as if my whole thoughts and my heart and everything just gets, like, as soon as I just read something or think about something, almost, even if I'm not thinking about that, it's almost as if he crashes in on me. I know it's a strong word, but it's just how it feels. And I just feel like pulled towards him,
Yeah.
and it's happening like regularly, you know. So I can't think of anything, but just that just has been happening to me.
Okay. Well, if you think that you're presenting yourself as a living sacrifice to God and you're giving him everything, then he can show up and do everything he wants, whenever he wants.
Yes.
You're surrendered. So you learn
Yes.
to surrender so that he has the access to engage you. He was always wanting to engage you, but the more you surrender, the more access that he has and the more comfortable he feels. Because it's like, he didn't want to force us into anything.
Yes.
So he wants us to engage. So, I think, the more we find intimacy,
Yes.
the more open to intimacy we will become, and that means flowing in the Word of God, or flowing in the Spirit, and flowing in what God is wanting to connect us in. So, if we want always to be seeing what the Father's doing, then we need to give him that access to do that all the time. To break into our sort of day, to break into what we're thinking about, to break into our normality of everyday life, so we can be totally connected to him, and therefore he can make us aware. I mean, in a sense, we can practice doing that ourselves, which is a proactive thing. Brother Lawrence practicing the presence of God. It's just centering your thoughts on God, and enabling God to be able to interact. But, when we're to the stage where he's wanting us to engage in government and to really take responsibility of sons, it's hijacking you sometimes is because he needs to get your attention, because he needs you to focus on something, he needs you to be able to do something. So, in a sense, you are on call for him to call on you to engage the kingdom and to outwork government of God whenever. If you're at that level, if you're willing to governmentally operate in on the mountains of God and our mountains, then you have to be willing for him to, as you say, hijack you. But really, all he's doing is showing you what he's doing so you can be involved. So he's giving you an invitation to be involved in his kingdom purposes at a governmental level.
Actually, no, I just remembered. I did have some questions, and I know the others will. I don't know if they have questions, but one of the things I messaged you about is about you spoke in one hangout about holding people in your hearts, and I would really like you to expand a little bit about that, because we even spoke about that Saturday when we had our meeting. And someone wanted to know more about that also. But how do you hold people in your heart, and what does that mean practically?
Okay. Well, whatever are the desires of our hearts, God says in the Psalms that he will give us the desires of our hearts. So if we have people within our sphere of government, so let's say family, friends, maybe people we work with, people in church, people that we're in groups with, and we want to bless them and to release blessing and to enable them to engage God, then we can take them into our hearts. And you can go beyond people into a town or a region or a nation or the world or even beyond the world, and you can take it in your hearts. And, you know, probably 12 months ago, God really took me into an encounter out into the solar system, and I saw the world, and it was sort of football size up in front of me, and he said, I want you to take it into your heart. And what I did is I took it in that spiritual encounter, and I placed it within my heart, inside me, into my innermost being, and immediately it started to draw me towards it. So I began to think about the world, I began to think about people, and that's really what encouraged me to do what I'm doing now, because I was resisting up until that point, because I just couldn't see what it was that God really would want me to do. But when I took the world into my heart, it just changed the desires and drew me towards that. And then I began to think about it and meditate on it, and the Spirit began to speak to me, and I then began to operate and flow out of that. Now, that was a simple encounter, but it was a profound encounter. So sometimes things can be put in our heart in an encounter. So a scroll, you know, Ezekiel basically was told by God to eat the scroll, and it became in him, and then he began to prophesy and release out of the scroll that was in him the things that God had placed there. So sometimes there are things that we encounter in heaven, and we encounter when we're experiencing visions and these things, that we have a sense that we need to place them in our heart, and place them within us. And once they're in us, they can begin to flow out through us. So everything that's placed in is designed to flow through and out. So it's to flow out like the river of life. Because freely we've received, freely we're supposed to give. That's what Jesus said. So none of these things are just, oh, we put them in our heart for our purposes. They're not for our selfish desires. They're for God's desires for those things that he's placed within our heart. And, you know, often we will sort of say, you know, I want your heart, God, for something. You know, give me your heart. Well, in reality, what we need to do is to develop our own heart, so it begins to operate like God's heart. And so it becomes an incubator of things, a womb, if you like, a place where we place things there and they begin to change us, and they begin to shape us, and they begin to move us in a particular direction towards somebody or towards a place or a situation. And so when it comes to people, if you carry people in your heart, what I mean is you have to focus your attention on them and begin to fix your thoughts and eyes on them, and then that will cultivate a desire for them. But the desire for them is for the desire of God's kingdom purposes, their destiny, to be released. It's not a desire which is a wrong desire, you know, in a way. It's a right desire. And so to establish something in our hearts, we have to fix our thinking on it. We have to begin to cultivate that. And, you know, if you want let's say it's, say, a child, or let's say it's a family member or something, and you really want their salvation, you want them flowing in God, and you want them, you know, fulfilling everything God has for their lives, then a quick prayer isn't going to do it. If you want to really have access to minister to them in the spirit, in the realm of the spirit, rather than just in the natural realm, then you have to take them with you into the realm of the spirit, and you do that by placing them in your heart. And they become in your heart by cultivating the desire that God has for them within you. And so, you know, that would mean, you know, continually, daily, when you present yourself to God, it's like daily part of that would be, I'm taking this in people into my heart so that I can engage with God's desire for them, and I can begin to prophesy that. I may begin to prophesy out of their destiny. I may, on my mountains, begin to declare and call things that be not as if they are. All the things we can do on our mountains in terms of the keys of the kingdom, we can release for that which we carry in our heart. And so everything, a ministry, each mountain, whatever it is that we're called to administer, it must be in our heart. And I've spent a lot of time around the presence of God in His Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, around His presence, where the ark of His presence, you know, forms. And there's the cherubim and there, and, you know, I take my place and I begin to think about His name and I begin to focus on that. And as I do that, I'm looking for the desires of His heart. So I'm opening my heart for Him to reveal the desires of His heart for me. And so it's the same people. You have to be motivated to do something. You can't just hope it's going to happen. You cultivate it. You know? And so anything that we want to see released, we need to cultivate the desire within our heart. And it's an absolute key to seeing the kingdom released, to seeing God's will released, is to cultivate that within our heart. And that takes time and it takes effort to desire that. You know, and from a you know, natural standpoint, and you know, I've used this illustration, when I'm looking to, I might be interested in something, or something may catch my attention, particularly, you know, for me, you know, if I like techie things and things like that. So when something catches my eye, maybe an advert for a new piece of kit or a new piece of technology, I will begin to think about it, and then I will begin to find out about it, and I will do a Google search about it, and then I'll read about it. Then I'll go and find out where I could get hold of that technology. And then I'll go and potentially I might download the manual for that technology to look at it. You know, I will go and then read reviews of other people who've used that technology to make sure it's something which is good, which I really want. You know, then I will go and find a forum with people who've used that technology, and I'll find out everything that usually can go wrong with it, or things I can do with it which I wouldn't understand just reading the manual. I'll do all that. You know, and I'll spend, you know, often when I'm chilling around doing nothing much, you know, I spend a lot of time just thinking about things and focused on things, and a lot of those things are things of God, and some of those things are, you know, things like techie things like that. But once I've, you know, gone through that process, and that process sometimes can take a month, sometimes it can take a week, depends, you know, how interested in it I am. Usually what it does, it cultivates the desire for me to go and buy it, you know. And so once that is formed in me, I am then willing to sacrifice something for it. I'm willing to sacrifice money to have it and to see the benefit of it released, you know. And until I've built the desire to such a degree that it will cause me to overcome the financial barrier, then I wouldn't buy it, you know. And that's the same thing we have to do when we're cultivating a desire in our heart for someone, hold them in our hearts, so that we can have access to release the spiritual things around their lives. And we have to actually begin to do the same thing. So if it's, let's say, a child or a family member, we would need to speak the words by faith. I take this person into my heart, and then I begin to seek God about that person and his desires for them. What is their destiny? You know, where are the things that are actually going wrong in their lives right now? Where are the hindrances and blockages to them fulfilling their destiny? Maybe if they're not yet Christians, you know, what's blinding them? What sin is affecting their lives, giving the enemy access? I will seek God about all those things. You know, and when I go into the presence of God, I carry them with me, and therefore that I have access to see into their destinies sometimes. You know, and sometimes I can go and, if I really want to find out, I go read the record of the scroll that's been written about them. You know, now, you know, that takes some discipline to do that. You know, most people don't. You know, so we just pray a quick prayer and we hope God's going to answer, but we've never really cultivated the desire that we need. And it's not just about people, it can be anything. You know, the things of God, our own destiny, any sort of ministry that God has for us, anything we're focused on, you know, we have to cultivate it in our hearts. You know, at the moment, you know, in terms of what I'm seeking to do in terms of these, you know, engaging God manual and alpha test groups and things, I have to bring that into my heart. I spend time meditating around it. What is God's purpose for it? What is the strategy that God is going to release for it? How should I administer it? I begin just to seek God about those things. I go around the ark and I'm asking for a frequency of his will for it that I want to receive. Then I begin to picture it. I begin to call it forth. I go onto my mountain. I call for the right people for the groups. You know, that's what I do. You know, therefore, it begins to be incubated in me. It begins to be shaped in me, and that turns my heart towards it even more. And then I'm willing to sacrifice whatever for it, because I know it's the heart and destiny of God. So it becomes a priority, because that which I behold, I become like. And so I begin to be shaped by that which I behold. You know, so it's really important about that. You know, so, you know, I think it's one of the keys for us really learning how to engage in our destiny and the things that God's called us, is to learn how to cultivate desire. And if we don't, it will be superficial. And we may do some good things, but we won't engage in best. Because if anything is worth something, it's worth spending the time to develop that desire. And so that desire shapes us, and then we have spiritual access and authority with that desire. You know, I think that's the key. Whatever we do in that desire, it then begins to flow spiritually like that river, because it's within us ready to be birthed. And so we birth things in the kingdom through incubating them, nurturing them, cultivating them, whatever, you know, analogy you like to use, but it takes time. You know, you don't birth a child in 3 months. It takes 9 months. And if something is brought to birth before the 9 months, then usually it's premature and it has problems and often needs some care, and sometimes goes into special care baby unit or neonatal unit, I think, that type of thing, because it's come too early. And sometimes we can desire things and we want them now before the time. And even with people, you know, how many people that we know who become Christians really struggled because I think they were prematurely birthed. We didn't take the care to see God's timing in things, and therefore when they will be ready to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. So we offer them a prayer, pray this prayer and everything's great, you'll come to Jesus and you'll know him. And the reality, what happens is they have very difficult beginnings because they didn't come in as a disciple of, I'm going to follow Jesus, I'm going to leave everything behind and follow him, because we make it easy for people because we've not sought God's heart for them enough and we've not cultivated that. So it's really, really important that we learn how to do this and how to take the time to do it and to build that in us, because then when we birth something out, it will be in due season. It will have everything that's right on that season. Really, really important. Okay. Is that okay, or do you want anything more specific on that? Or
no, I think that's answered as well. That's good. Yeah. Okay. I just want to ask something else, because we had a discussion, and I've never really thought about this, but I said I would ask you. Someone asked me, if we have the kingdom of God is within us. So they wanted to know how, when we say we go up or we practice exploring or navigating in heaven or the kingdom of our Father, do we go inside, in the kingdom inside, or do we go through a door inside and to him? Okay. Or is it the kingdom we visit within? Yeah.
It's both. So yeah, you have within your spirit, you have the kingdom. Now the kingdom is where God dwells and where his rule is. So, you know, a king lives in his kingdom, and the kingdom really is an expression. It can be a physical realm, but actually it's more talking about in the biblical sense, the word is called basileia, and literally it means the rule or reign of the king. So that area in our spirit where we have invited God to come by surrendering and being born again, and we become spiritually alive, and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us, and we have we've drunk living water. And then we have a source of living water, which is supposed to become a spring or a fountain, which eventually is supposed to turn into a river. And so within our spirit, there is this dimensional area where God dwells. Now, because God is outside of space in that sense, he can be everywhere. You know, so is he on his throne, and is he on in our life, in the kingdom? Well, yeah, he is. But it's his presence, not his person, and his presence is within us. And in my spirit is a mountain, because it's represented that which is in heaven, which is the mountain in heaven. And on this mountain, there is a pillar of cloud. It looks like a cloud pillar. And within that pillar is my door of first love. And so that pillar connects right back into heaven, because it's where God's kingdom is in heaven, but that pillar connects into our spirit and God dwells within. But of course, he asks us to open that gate and let him out. So, you know, how I picture it is, you know, there's a trickle of the river of life or the living water that's flowing out from that place of the kingdom in me, but until I hear him knocking and I open the door and invite him into my spirit, then it's just a trickle that I've been living from. That's the source. But once I open that door and I invite him in and he comes in, then that trickle becomes ankle deep and knee deep and can become waist deep and ultimately can become completely able so we can swim in it as it flows through us. So once I've opened that first love gate, that engages me in relationship, because Jesus, you know, in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, then I will come in and we will dine. We will fellowship. We will have intimacy. We will have relationship. And that's the purpose of the kingdom in us. Initially is in John 14, we have come, 23, we have come to make our home. And in John 14, earlier than that, it says about the Holy Spirit coming to be in us. And so that's where they dwell. But it isn't until I then begin to fellowship and have relationship that I build my relationship with the Holy Spirit, with the Father, with Jesus, that I can really know them. And then, you know, within my spirit also is the throne of my life, which is my throne. But when I abdicate authority and allow Jesus to sit on that throne, then he becomes Lord. So I've surrendered to a different level. He becomes Lord of my life. Now, that isn't a one-off, one-only thing. Oh, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Everything's hunky-dory from then on. It's a daily choice. It's a daily surrender to say, I surrender the throne of my life to him today. So then he teaches me to rule. So I can sit with him. You know, there's in my spirit, there's like a throne which is I give to him, and then he's teaching me and training me. So as he becomes king, I become Lord. As he becomes Father, I become king. And eventually I'm operating in the fullness of sonship, which he entrusts me with the full capacity of all that my spirit has to engage in. And that's the journey of Zechariah 3, 1, you know, 6 and 7. And that then gives us access to go back through the door to engage in the cloud where the river is coming from and follow that river of life back into the Garden of God in Eden, which is where the pathway of relationship engages within heaven, Garden of God, rivers, waterfalls, Tree of Life, Throne of Grace, all the places that we're supposed to engage in intimacy to engage in the source of life for identity and all those things that come in my relationship with God. And then, of course, that is supposed to then flow out of me. So I can't just maintain it within my spirit, because my spirit is supposed to be bigger than my soul and my body to create the atmosphere of the kingdom around me, so that I allow the kingdom that's within me to manifest around me. So then the rule or government of God is around my circumstances, my daily walk, everything I'm seeking to do is around me, because I'm now connected to the source in heaven, and I'm then flowing that source through my spirit and out through my heart. So then I begin to engage the river of life in my heart. I begin to engage relationship in my heart. I cultivate the soil of my heart. I tend and cultivate by planting in my heart. So my heart is now soft and ready to receive what we were talking about earlier, those things within my heart which are the desires of God. Because I spend most of my time in my hanging out with God, just talking to him in my garden. Because it's all about relationship, and it's all about me just getting to know him and talking to him and to cultivating trust and intimacy. And that all flows from that dimension of the kingdom in me and connects up. But I'm also called to rule in co-heirship with Jesus in the realm of the kingdom in heaven, because the kingdom of God is also in the realm, one of the realms of heaven. And so that is where my mountain is. That is where I'm called to take responsibility that flows out of the relationship that I'm developing in that place within me, in that secret place, and in the places in my spirit soul within me, I'm also supposed to administer the kingdom and govern and rule. So in Revelation 3:20, you've really got the kingdom in you and in me, so I can open that door. Revelation 4:1, behold a door standing open in heaven, and the invitation was, come up here and I will begin to show you some more things. And then what we can do is we can step into the door that's open, because we have an open heaven over our lives, and step through that doorway. So that becomes like Jacob's ladder, where, you know, we are the house of God, but we're also the gateway of heaven. So we have access to engage through the door, so that we also become a gate of heaven and to manifest heaven. And recently, I've been engaging in my mountain, and because I've been looking into the fire stones and I've been spending a lot of time around the presence of God in the ark, four faces of God, and I've been really looking to cultivate that and develop that, I have really discovered that the 12 stones that were in the crown that I have on my mountain are the things that I've absorbed and the frequency vibrating from the light of God, that I've looked into the fire stones, the 9 fire stones containing the 3 skins of the Father, Son, and the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit, and the DNA of God in that place, I've begun to find that those crown jewels or stones are shining, radiating, vibrating with a frequency that is contained from the revelation that I've received in my spirit, not in my mind. Because when I've gone to those fire stones, my mind has not been able to contain most of what I was when I was looking deeper and deeper into it. Because obviously when I first went, I looked into the fruit of the Spirit and began to engage in the emotions and that. But then as I've gone back and looked deeper, I've looked deeper into the precepts and the ordinances and the commandments and those different things of God. And so I've now found that the stones are beginning to vibrate. And because they're on me, as I'm on my throne, I am beginning to vibrate from the revelation that's contained within those stones, and then that begins to flow out of me as a gateway through the river. And when I'm those, depending on which stones I'm looking into, which stones I'm engaging, that river chain tends to change color and begin to flow out. And a friend of mine, you know, he was given a stone, he was on his mountain, and he was like, what do I do with it? And he just felt, I'm going to put it in the river, and it was a red stone, and it turned the river red. And so that was an outworking of something that God was working with him on. So it's not just that the river is flowing within from the kingdom within us and within our spirit, it's supposed to flow out of heaven and to cascade down out of heaven around the spheres of governmental influence that we have. So all these things are basically patterned after each other, and they're engaging each other, but you just get deeper and deeper revelation, because, you know, the last month has been a really, really strong time of revelation. It's halfway through the year, and I've just felt called to really meditate more, spend time around the presence of God, around the ark, on the firestones and different things, in the heart of God himself. And I've found that there's been a flow of revelation and a receiving of revelation. So my journal is sort of, you know, 3 or 4 times the volume as it was in May, because that's been the season, you know. But that has opened up different dimensions that I wasn't functioning in before, in terms of cultivating desire, about stepping into him, stepping into the Spirit, into the Son, into the Father, being baptized into them, therefore being skinned with them, therefore I'm in Christ, I'm in God, all that. There's a greater dimension for us to understand that. But it all begins to engage. So You know, yes, the kingdom's in us, but the kingdom is also in the realms of the spirit, and they are connected. One is more about engaging relationship, and therefore engaging through that river back into the realms of heaven, and the other is more about engaging government, and therefore we can step into the place of government to, as a living sacrifice, to engage the ark and then gain mandates, authorizations, the desires of our heart around the four faces of God. So it's both, not, you know.
Mike, yep. I came across something quite a time ago, and I kept trying to find it. I haven't been able to find it, so I'm going to run it by you. Someone talked about they went back 9 months before they were born, and they started going through their life day by day, bringing it before the Lord, anything that could have happened in their lives, trauma, like, by day, and they're going through how they're systematically going through right up to the age they're at today. And what they gave a testimony, and they said, man, this is so powerful. You've got to do it. And I remember reading that, and I went back, I've looked and looked, haven't been able to find it. I don't know if you can add any insight to that. Does that even make sense? Or?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's the process that I followed when I opened my gateways. When I looked to engage my soul, I looked to engage from the perspective of my gateways, everything that had hindered, blocked, affected them in a negative way. And so I know Ian has taught on this, and he taught that he went back through each year of his life and engaged, you know, what were the things that had happened, trauma, negative words, things, sin, issues of emotions, the whole gamut of things that had affected our conscience, our imagination, our reason, our mind, our emotions, our will, and our choices. And so I personally engaged in that. I went back through each year of my life, and in each year of my life, I engaged each day and asked God to show me anything during that. I didn't specifically go back through each day, but I did it within each year because I asked for, you know, I took the 365 days of the year, and I took each gateway, and I asked God to show me the things in this year, according to those days, that things that have affected me, things I've done, things that were done to me, things I'd heard, things I'd seen, images, mindsets that had been come in any way, anything that was he wanted to deal with that would enable that gate to be open and for that gate to be flowing, and therefore all the hindrances, all the blocks. So where did familiar spirits come from? You know, where did, you know, where was the different things that happened that affected my imagination and my conscience? And so I opened myself up for him to show me, and I found that there were patterns of behavior that began to develop. There were mindset patterns that began to develop, and my understanding of them by doing that, and then I dealt with them by repentance, by renunciation, by taking the blood of Jesus, obliterating them out of my mind in terms of images, out of my heart, from memories, out of my emotions, from hurts, and, you know, out of my will, from surrendering negatively. I went through each one, and I found that there were patterns that were repeated year on year on year, that eventually I found the root by going back through each year. I started in the present, and I went backwards, because that's how I seemed logical to me to deal with the stuff I could remember and go back. If people do it the other way, I don't think there's a right or wrong way. So you could start before the room and go forward, whichever way. But it is a very powerful process. And, you know, it's, in a sense, it's very similar to doing a lie bust on yourself. And you're just asking God to show you what has affected this area, when did it affect it, what year. You know, you can do it. I just went systematically through each year and dealt with everything as it went along. But you could ask God, you know, in a live bust, okay, what happened in this year? What do you want to deal with in this year? Like, similar thing, it's basically, you know, I did this 3 or 4 years ago before I understood about light busting, and it was a personal thing, you know, so I was able to ask God, God was showing me, I was able to repent and renounce it, use the body and blood of Jesus at times once I learned how to do that, yeah, so that there's a flow and that the blockages are removed. I obviously took legal action on things where identified familiar spirits were affected these things, and as I learned to present myself as a living sacrifice also, that engaged in these things as well, because that dealt with roots and dealt with generational things. So, you know, I dealt with the behaviors by going through each year of my life in each gateway, and then when I presented myself as a living sacrifice, I began to deal with the thoughts and intentions of my heart and the motives and trading, and eventually looked at the genetic seed line, bloodline issues of iniquity, which were in within my genetic triggers that could be activated through trauma or circumstances. And I dealt with those, and I'm still in process, you know, I'm still opening up myself. If God wants to show me anything, you can, you know, and, you know, often, you know, I have a teaching and a diagram which talks about using trauma to produce transformation. And therefore, what I do is I use my reactions to things. Why did I react in a certain way? To highlight, are there issues that God wants to deal with? Are there roots to those actions? Because quite often when pressure comes on, we behave differently from when we're just chilled out. And so how do I react when someone says something nasty? How do I react when someone hurts me? How do I react when I'm misunderstood? How do I react when there's injustice? And so I have a whole diagram teaching around that, which explains what to do, how to deal with it, how to identify what is the root of it, use the court system to deal with legal access, and then get it purged from the heart and the memory so that familiar spirits have nothing to work with. You know, but I use my everyday life as a trigger to show me, you know, and then I'll go back and ask God, why? What is the root? Because the fruit is just our reaction. The root is what causes that reaction, and that may well be within my heart sown. It may well be something which is generational, that is familiar and operates through patterns of thinking and mindset. Learned behavior, it may have come through three general sources, through nurture, nature, or trauma. And once I've identified which, then I can deal with it. But it certainly made a massive difference in my life when I cleansed all those gateways, and I made sure that, and I still do, you know, I still regularly do a checkup. Is my conscience functioning? Is it protecting me and directing me? You know, is my imagination sharp? Am I able to engage with the eyes of my heart and see in the realm of the spirit and to pick up the flow of the thoughts of God in my spirit? You know, am I able to in my reason, am I able to be clear in hearing the thoughts of God and meditating around those thoughts? I would go through the process and just check up, you know, because when you're really busy, you know, sometimes, you know, you just keep going and keep going, but I really want to make sure that I'm flowing in God rather than just busyness, so I do check everything up, you know, is there anything in my emotion which is affecting me? You know, and, you know, as men, you know, often our emotions are not that clued into, so we may end up feeling grumpy or annoyed over something, which is our way of expressing upset or something emotional. You know, so it's learning to identify the signs and signals and then be willing to deal with them. You know, so it's certainly a very, very important thing to cleanse those gateways and to make sure the enemy's got nothing in us. Because ultimately, the level of authority we will operate in the kingdom and rule from our mountains will be proportional to the level of holiness and sanctification that's in our lives. and I mean practical rather than just Jesus has done it all, actually what how practically am I manifesting holiness from the position of righteousness that I am in heaven? Because it's like wonderful being clothed in white robes in heaven, but if I'm not actually manifesting that in actual practical holiness, in demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit and operating in love and outworking that righteousness, then it's a waste of time. You know, so in reality, there needs to be an actual expression of that through my life. So I need to work at it and continually work at it and become sensitive. You know, I guess I've become more sensitive now to a lack of peace or oppression or weight that would come on me in any way that would indicate that the enemy's got some sort of access or is poking me in some way, and I will be, I'll go and find out why, you know. But sometimes, you know, I say things and do things that I think afterwards, oh, why did I say that? Why did I do that? You know, and therefore, then I need to go and identify why and deal with it. So if that, helps, yeah.
Mike, I just want to say something quickly because my friend has a burning question in her heart. But I just want to say in relation to what you said just now, I found that to be so absolutely true, what you said. The thing we say is if there's a fruit, then there's a root. And if there's like daily life, you know, apart from doing life busting and all the inner healing stuff that we do to get ourselves cleansed and our gateways and all of that, just daily life could help us to get healed. And I have found in my own journey of healing, in inner healing, that if even if someone does something that is wrong towards me, if I have if I feel toxic or I feel something triggers inside me towards a pain or emotion that is not healthy, or I feel offended, right? Even though the person may have been wrong in what they did, the fact that it lighted on me, it means that there is something in me. So what I would usually do is go to Father and say, why did I feel like this? And what is the root of this? And I find that is that really has helped me to heal, you know, in a very quick manner, you know? Yeah, just wanted to say that quickly.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Okay, so someone had a question they wanted?
Yes, Mike, I do have a question. As a group, we've been having encounters together, and we noticed that some of the themes keep popping up. Even last time we went up together as a group and there were new people there, and some of our original experiences just together as a small group going up, some of the same themes keep popping up, some of the same things like Ezekiel and different things, navigating. So I was wondering, and I think you may have answered part of it, but if you could comment on that, what to do with those group experiences, because there's so many of them. We've gone up together in just our little group here and then the larger group, and just wondering, you know, how to deal with that. It's like it's becoming difficult to go back to every single one, but some themes are popping up. Could you comment on that?
Yeah. Obviously, the purpose for engaging may be different in different circumstances. So if you're opening up a doorway for others to go through so that they will begin just to begin their journey and begin to experience some things, that is totally different for when you're going in as a Venture 3 or in government to seek God about something specific. And so, you know, there's no problem, you know, in opening up the door for people to go through. What you want to encourage those people to do is to I would always encourage people in any encounter to journal it and then to begin to meditate on it afterwards and then revisit it. So, you know, go back over it, because that means that you're valuing it and you're beginning to experience it. But you'll then learn to understand the symbolism of it, because the truth that was contained in the encounter will begin to be released once you go back over it. Asking God, what was that about, God? What did you intend me to learn from that experience? What were you trying to teach me? What was that experience bringing in revelation knowledge to me? Therefore, I'm going to draw from that experience, and then that experience will become a doorway back into future experience, because I'm going to go back through the doorway that's been opened. Which is why, you know, I'm reticent to just keep opening doors for people who don't go back and open their own, because then I will be becoming the very thing I don't want to be, which is a mediator. You know, I want to encourage people, and I want to use the key to open a door. But for it to become their door, they have to go back over it and to engage it themselves, so it becomes their pathway of entrance, and they can go in and out and find the pasture that they need and the relationship and engagement in it. So, you know, if you are leading people in and obviously I do this all the time, sometimes I just observe and watch what other people are doing and things that are happening. Sometimes I will just basically stay on the fringes of it so I don't get too caught up in it myself, because the purpose is I want other people to engage. But other times I just get drawn right in and I have my own experiences in those encounters, and God speaks through them and I engage in them. And I will do the same thing then. I will then come back out of that encounter and look to journal that encounter and then see, do I need to go back into that? Have I got full enough revelation of what it was? What was God saying? I'll do all that. Now, most people won't be aware of that because everyone's got their eyes closed and they're doing their own engagement. And I'm also with my eyes closed and I'm looking to engage myself in various ways. So when you go in as a bench of three, however, you're going for governmental mandates. So you'll be looking to step in, you know, primarily, you know, this is what we do as our bench of three. Yeah, you know, we go to look at our scrolls, black book that we've been given, go look at its pages, and the three of us will come from a different perspective, but bringing a whole picture. So often we will see different things relating to the different functions of the gifts that we carry, either redemptive gifts or spiritual gifts. Our bench of three is made up of a kingly, lion face of God type person who has a redemptive gift of ruler, of a sort of ox type person, redemptive gift prophet, and they have a prophetic thing, and I come really from the eagle perspective, which is apostolic, and also in terms of redemptive gift, more towards teaching, prophetic teaching. So then we will see things, we will write those things down, then when we come back out, we'll share them, and we'll then see where does this fit in, what is God revealing to us, what is the bigger picture? Because I'll always be looking at from the eagle as high as I can to see the bigger picture. The other person will always be looking to see, how do we do this? You know, what is the strategy? What is the order that this will come out in? And the other one really usually has dreams and visions that God is speaking to her all the time about, that then fit into, oh, that makes sense. That's what that dream was about. That's what that vision was about. And so I tend to see very specific blueprints. I'm looking down, seeing the plan. I will come out with some usually bullet points of the things I've seen. But then we pull that together, and then we look to, okay, how do we administrate this? Do we now need to do something from our thrones? Do we need to go and make some declarations or proclamations? Most of the time what we do here is we look for earthly agreement. Sometimes we've gone to the Chancellor's Court together and we've got something authorized and sealed, you know, different things that we can do, but then we look for earthly agreement. So we come and bring what we've seen before our Council of 12, and we then find earthly agreement, and then we'll usually go step back in together and go and get the mandate for the outworking of it around the ark. So there's lots of different things. And when these patterns come up, I'm just wondering, are you looking to step in for government, or are you just looking to step in and see what happens? Because as you mature, you will begin to step in specifically for that which you've been called to govern. As you're practicing, sometimes you can step in, let's see where God takes us, which is fine. But ultimately, you have to tread the pathway to establish government, which means you need to follow through the process. So when we step in, literally we're presenting ourselves as living sacrifices, a three, because we don't want our will, and we don't want our minds, and we don't want our previous thoughts or anything which comes out of the natural realm. So we surrender that, and therefore we engage the ark, and we engage the frequency of God and his voice and around the ark. Sometimes we will go straight to our mountain because we know God has called us to do something specific. The pathways and different things that come up, if God is trying to get your attention, then likelihood is you're going to have the same things come over and over until you learn what he's saying and then put it into practice or understand and start to administer it. But then that's the sort of step over from I'm learning and I'm practicing to I'm ruling and I'm beginning to govern. And there has to come a time where we go from walking in his ways and beginning to outwork his precepts into we have charge of the house and we have charge of the courts and we get access to stand in the higher realms. So if that, does that make sense or?
Mike, just continuing with what Angela asked just now. So as a bench, I know sometimes we do that. For example, yesterday when we, as you said, opened the way for the others to go up, and some of them saw some of the things that we saw when we went up as a group, with others also. As a bench, when we go up, so through desire, really, and intentionally, we get drawn to where we want to go because we have in our hearts what it is we want to see or what we're looking for. Like if we want to go have a strategy for a particular thing, like a conference or a particular matter, is that what we do? Apart from yeah. Present yourself as a living sacrifice and then you just follow a particular pathway and being drawn through by desire. Is that
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, the more familiar you get with where you go to do certain things, what you're looking to engage in will direct you. I mean, you can never go wrong with first going around the arc of the presence of God, because that's where the past and present and future meet, and so that's where the circle of the end and the beginning is, so you can begin to look into what it was like before it got messed up, and what it will be like, and you can begin to manifest that in the present. And that's a whole different subject, but around the same thing about how you cultivate desire, because you want to cultivate desire out of that which came from before the creation of the world, out of that which came before the fall of Adam, and that which is God's desire to bring into the present, and you can manifest that present. So if you are specifically say, okay, you want a conference, then you're going with that goal. So you all step in. You don't step in and sort of, it's not like a live bust in the, okay, God, what would you like to do today? Because that's fine for children, but actually when we're adults and we're governing, we have to decide what it is today. But we take that, it may just be, what is today? That's the question. We're going to go around the arc to find out what is today. Great. But you go there, so it's always a good place to go because you're looking for the will of God to resonate with it. You're looking for the frequency of his voice. You're looking for your heart to engage. You're looking for mandates, authorizations. That's really where you're looking to see what the Father's doing. so that you are then authorized to do the same, which is great. But then you may then need to go and take that authorization and administer it. So then you may need to go to your mountains and to the thrones. You may need to engage the court of angels. You may need to engage something else because of the revelation that you've received. You need to engage the four faces of God. So you may need to bring order. So you need to may look out the face of the lion and begin to speak out of that face, because you need to bring order into something. It may be that you need to bring prophetic revelation into something. So you look in the other face of the ox. If it may be you need a blueprint, then look in through the face of the eagle and soar so you can see the blueprint. It may be that you need to administer that and look for earthly agreement and the priestly function. Maybe you're going on behalf of others or a group of people, or you're looking for God to break into a situation. Then you would go and look in the priestly function of the man so that you could bring everything together. So, you know, we have, as a bench of three, because we've sort of done this a few times, sometimes we've just gone straight to our mountain and we call for the angel to bring our scroll, and we then look at our scroll and we then begin to take that, and then we would then go back for the mandates associated with that. But there's not a sort of an exact science to it, but for me, I would always favor going to around the presence of God, around the ark, because that's when you're going to get the fullest manifestation of the past and the future through the four faces of God and God's manifest presence. Because I'm still looking for him to give revelation and authorization. Mountains I can go to with things that I've already got authorization for. I don't need reauthorization when I've already been given a mandate. I can outwork that mandate, providing it's not time sensitive and it's ended and it was a season or something like that. So if I have a mandate, I can go to my mountain and outwork it. The same, which is what we go to our mountains with our scroll or our book, because we already got that, and so we can open it to get revelation and then bring that revelation back and begin to engage what it is to outwork it. So it isn't, I wouldn't say it's really, it should go beyond just going just to see. It is the desire of our heart. The more we cultivated that desire, that desire will lead us and it will direct us. You know, and then when we do get on our mountains, everything that we've received and absorbed from the frequency of the light and everything from God's presence, then we can release. You know, I never think, what should I do for my mountain? I just let my spirit release it like that river. And so it flows out from the things I say, things I think, things I begin to call forth. It will just begin to flow out. Directing the angels, you know, sending an angel to do this, all those things will just come because I am in that frequency, and because I've got the crown with the 12 stones in it, I can expect the revelation of how God administers his kingdom to begin to flow and function through how I administer my spheres in the kingdom. So I begin to rule like he would rule. And sometimes that is vastly different from what our logical or emotional senses will tell us to do. You know, if you read through history and look through the Bible, God did some pretty wild stuff. It wasn't the logical answer, you know, and wasn't, you know, the thing that you would have immediately thought of. So this is where it's really important not to dismiss what your spirit is saying in for logic or even emotion. It needs to be a flow from the spirit and revelation from the spirit. So, okay.
Okay, that's good. Well, I see it's after seven, so we probably have to go